God, we thank you for the rain yesterday that's going to nourish things this summer, that's going to keep things alive. We thank you for the sunshine that's providing energy. And we pray that today, from your word, you would nourish us, that you would help us to grow, that you would give us the energy to do your will through your son. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, happy Father's Day. I'm a dad, so when my kids wake up, they'll probably wish me a happy Father's Day. My dad is actually here today, and my mom's here. Hello, good to see you guys. I was thinking yesterday and actually had a conversation while I was at this graduation party happening outside at a park in Neenah. We were talking about earrings, ear piercings, and it reminded me of a conversation that I had with my dad. You know, I grew up in the 80s where, the MTV era, and it was a super rebellious move at that time for men to get their ears pierced, and that everybody on MTV was doing it. So as we were emerging from the 80s into the 90s, and I was becoming a high schooler, I remember saying to my dad, Dad, I'm thinking about getting my ear pierced. Because it would just be one ear at that point. I mean, historically, culturally. Anyway, thinking about getting my ear pierced, and my dad gave me this answer that just showed a lot of wisdom. Do you remember this, Dad? Do you remember the conversation?
I remember when you came in with your earring.
Oh, he remembers a time when I came in with a fake earring just to get a reaction. But this conversation, I remember having this conversation in the car. And I remember saying, I'm thinking about getting my ear pierced. And he said, you could do that, which shows a lot of patience and restraint, because I know that's not what was going on in his head. He said, you could do that. I wouldn't really like it. So it might be something that would come between us, even just a little bit. So rather than slamming the door on that idea, which for a lot of dads at that time would be their answer, my dad said, okay, yeah, I hear you, and you could. However, that wouldn't strengthen our relationship necessarily. So because I valued my relationship with my dad, I thought, I'll hold off on this earring thing. That was an example of me, I wouldn't have been able to name it at that time, but that was an example of me wanting to honor my father, wanting to invest in the value of our relationship. I wanted to show him that I care what you think. You have meaning in my life. So a few weeks ago, it was Mother's Day, and I shared with you some stories about fatherhood, because I'm not a mother, but I shared from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, that verse about fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. And then a couple of verses before that, in Ephesians 1 through 3, the Apostle Paul gives instructions to kids, and he says, children, obey your parents, because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. Honor your father and mother. Now, I've taught about honor in a parenting relationship before. I took something from the book, Shepherding Your Child's Heart, where there were three ideas about what does it mean to honor. And one of them is using proper titles. You don't call your parents by their first name. You don't call teachers by their first name. I know that's really popular right now. It shows honor to somebody to use a proper title. So, proper titles. No demands. And a respectful tone. Okay, so if we were to make demands of somebody who we're in a position where we're supposed to be honoring them, what it really says to them is like, you're my butler, you're my maid, you're my servant, you are here to meet my needs, to serve me, and it puts your value above their value. And what we learn about honor when we look in Scripture, when we look at that passage that the Apostle Paul is quoting, when he says, honor your father and mother, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, it's one of the Ten Commandments. And that word that's used there, the Hebrew word, if we study it out and look into it, and that's nothing fancy that only I can do. You can look on Blue Letter Bible. You can figure out how to find the Hebrew that it was written in. And what you discover is this word kabod, which, like, if you look at what it literally means, it literally means to put weight on something. And we find out that kabod, which we translate honor in that passage, can also be a negative thing, like that you put a burden on someone, and that's a negative thing. But when it's used in a positive sense, it means like to enrich something, to put weight on it in a way that ascribes or increases its value. That's to honor, to show and to express you are valuable. When I was learning that, I thought about when I upgraded my phone recently so that I could do these Facebook Live situations at a better standard of quality. I remember going into the phone store and I had my old phone, and then I picked up the Google Pixel 4. Yeah, that's what I'm using. I'm not using an iPhone. And some of you are like, well, that's why your shirt reads backward. Hey, lay off. I'm not about to get into an iPhone thing with y'all. Anyway, picked up the Google Pixel 4, which is a quality piece of equipment. I picked it up, and immediately I could tell, this is better than my phone. Just by the construction of it, I can feel that it's solid. I can feel that there's a weight to it. That's the kabod, that kind of honor. Like, this is more valuable. So to honor is to ascribe that kind of value. So honor your father and mother means value them, recognize, acknowledge their value. So that's why we don't make demands on them, because we value them. That's why we don't use a disrespectful tone with them, because we recognize that they're in a position of honor, and we need to treat them as valuable. Quick sidebar. When I have a hard time sleeping at night, I reach for a book at my bedside, and what I happen to be reading right now is a collection of American short stories, and I'm in the middle of a story by Washington Irving called The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. Maybe you guys have heard of it. Do you remember who the main character in that is? And I know some of you are going, well, yeah, it's the Headless Horseman. The Headless Horseman doesn't come up till, like, at the end, but do you remember the main character? Do you remember his first name? Anybody here remember?
Ichabod.
Okay, so just interesting side note. Kabod means to honor, to value. Ichabod is a name that you find in Scripture, and putting the I before kabod means without. So his name literally means without honor. So if you're thinking of name ideas, and I know for some of you, Ichabod is like, you're weighing that in your top three, just think for a moment about what it means. You might want to shy away from Ichabod. So, kabod, to honor, to give weight. So as we're talking about building a culture of honor in the church, because I believe that's what God wants us to do, as we're looking at how things have broken down, how we're totally renovating a church, but we're also kind of renovating our church culture. We're all in different parts of the community right now. We're worshiping where we are. Things are really different. And as we're looking at building back together, one of the things that we've got to consider is honoring each other in that process. So let's talk about what does that look like. And it starts with honoring God. We've got to remember that God is our Father in heaven. When we read instructions in Scripture like honor your father and mother, we've got to realize that God has put things together in a way that points to Him. It's not that the family becomes a nice analogy for us to understand who God is as a coincidence. God has given us the family as a way to know him better. So when it says honor your father and mother, and then Jesus, when he's asked, how should we pray? He says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Right? Proper titles. Your name, may it be kept holy. May we keep that value even as we think about your name and who you are. We need to honor God. We see in the book of Revelation that what's happening in heaven, what we're going to join, is a chorus of honor to God. Revelation 4:11, you are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and they exist because you created what you pleased. This is what's going on in heaven. God is being honored. So it starts with honoring God above all, and then honoring each other. See, we are brothers and sisters in Christ, members of one family. We are children of God. So that family analogy helps us understand better our relationship to him and to each other. So if we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we spent some time in this last week before, so we're kind of building on that diversity of the church, people who are different sizes, shapes, cultures, socioeconomic status, different giftedness coming together and being built into a body. That's what we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Do you hear how he's breaking down those barriers? He's not saying that those don't exist, although he does in a different passage say there is that these things no longer separate us from one another. He's saying we are united by one Spirit. He says, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? The Apostle Paul is being ridiculous here. He's saying it's silly to consider that a body would do that. So why would we do that in the body of Christ? Why would one part wish it was another part? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? We need the diversity. We need the different parts of the body to work together. So he says, but our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts. And by the way, this translation says parts. A more accurate translation would be members. So when we talk about church membership, we're not talking about like membership in Sam's Club. We're talking about being a part, a member in the body of Christ. And what do the members of your body do? They contribute to the overall health of your body, and they benefit from the other members of the body working together. My fingers contribute to getting Cheetos to my mouth. Praise the Lord. All right. How strange a body would be. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. Verse 21, the eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. This is where we get into the honor part of it. So focus in, think about what does it mean to honor each other. He says, in fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. So he's talking about our physical bodies now and saying the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen. I mean, that's Duluth Trading Company has kind of built a business on that. I'm wearing some of their boxer briefs right now. You didn't need to know that. But it's important that we are protecting some of those. I mean, this is kind of where he's going with this. He's not being real explicit, but he's saying there's some stuff we keep covered, and it's really important stuff. While the more honorable parts do not require this special care, the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. Now, this translation says less dignity. If you were to look at other translations, the New American Standard Bible, it essentially says our presentable members, the parts of our body that people see, they don't have need of extra honor. They don't need it, but there are parts of the body that do. I don't know if you guys have seen this. The illustration has become pretty popular right now in discussions about equity and equality, where you've got a fence and you've got a baseball game going on the other side of the fence, and you've got a tall person and then a little bit shorter person and then a very short person who can't see over the fence. Equality is giving every one of them a box to stand on. Well, the tallest person could see over the fence without the box. So it looks a little bit silly when they all have one box and the tallest person is way above the fence and the shortest person still can't see. Equality is giving them each one box. Equity is when that tallest person says, I don't need this box. But that shorter person, one box isn't enough. I'm going to take my box and I'm going to give it to that shorter person so now they can see. So now everybody can see what's going on. Paul is talking about there are some parts in the body that need more honor, because there are some parts that are already given honor by the world, that are already kind of obviously honored. So if we think about, if we think about our church, I think about some of the people in our church whose stories we've heard. Our friend, our sister in Christ, Nancy, has shared her story with us, where she was in special education growing up. She was called all kinds of names. She was treated poorly, and went on to get her degree. She was on the dean's list at MTC. In this community, she has invested time in helping first-generation Hmong people learn how to read and speak English. She's an amazing person and has an amazing story. And yet, in the world, she might not get a lot of honor. In the church, she is honored. She has a small group that goes out of their way to help make sure that she's included in things that they do. This teaching that I'm doing right now, she's not able to have the technology to be able to watch this live, but someone in her small group is going to record it and is going to bring it over to her so that she can continue to be a part of what's going on in the life of the church. There are people within our church who make contributions that we won't even understand the full value of this side of heaven. We won't really appreciate and understand how God sees them until we are with God. And yet I'm so glad to be part of a church where we have a diversity, where some people who may not experience honor or haven't experienced honor in their life, in their regular day-to-day, or maybe growing up, get to understand better their value in God's eyes because their brothers and sisters in Christ are ascribing that value to them in this world. That we have a culture of honor. The other way to do things would be to just honor the way the world honors. And people who come into the church who have a, a high status, they've got an important job, or they're dressed nicely, or they've got influence in the community, or they've got a lot of money that they can contribute to projects within the church, that the honor they get in the world becomes the honor that they get in the church, and that just is amplified, and people who are without those things come into the church and they stay without those things in the context of the church. And that is not the way the church should be. Paul makes it clear here. Give special attention. Ascribe value. Honor people. If you find yourself in a position of honor, take some of your honor and contribute it to someone else. Paul continues in verse 25 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with an outcome. He says, this makes for, and this next word, this was our key word for last week, this makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. I remember a situation where I was with a couple of people from New Day, and this was a long time ago, and we were invited to visit one of my mentors. And this mentor had a very clear idea about honor and what that means. And because he pastored in the Midwest for many years, he also clearly understood that a lot of times pastors, particularly in certain types of churches, don't get a lot of honor. There are some church boards that their prayer is, God, you keep the pastor humble, we'll keep him poor. That's kind of how churches treat their pastors a lot of times. In fact, I mean, with my dad sitting here, when I said I'm thinking about going into ministry, he said, don't do it. I've seen how people treat pastors. Don't do it. So this pastor that we were visiting understood that, this mentor of mine. So in this room where there were people who I was pastoring as a young pastor, again, this is a long time ago, he said, what is something you really appreciate about your pastor? He asked this question to them because he knew that one of the great things that he could do for me was put people in a position to understand the importance of honoring their pastor. And one of the people there kind of flippantly said, oh great, now he's gonna get a big head. Said that out loud. And the moment where honor could have entered the conversation, that moment was absolutely deflated. And instead of feeling honored in front of my mentor, I felt embarrassed. Why do we do that? It's not just this person who does that. We do that. I get into rooms full of people who I know love and care for each other, and they just jab at each other. They joke with each other. There's some concern that somebody is going to have their pride inflated or something if we give them a compliment. So we're constantly poking at them. Paul is saying that's not the culture that people should experience in the church. There's a leader in our movement who his name is Glenn. He's amazing. He's wonderful. And I've observed situations where people are jabbing and joking with him. And that's kind of, you know, that's our way of showing affection. I mean, that's how we excuse that. Oh, that we're just showing that we care. We're just brothers. Oh, but we're being sarcastic. We're cutting each other down. And that's kind of, I think, what he's gotten accustomed to. So one day when I just was totally honest with him and said to him, hey, Glenn, I want you to know that I really appreciate you. And it is my desire to honor you. And he looked at me and he said, are you being serious right now? Because we're not used to that And I was being totally serious, totally honest, totally genuine, but we're not used to that. And what Paul is saying is that in the church, we should have a culture of honor where we can receive somebody building us up, lifting us up. We can receive that. We don't have to play, No, all glory to God. No, we can honor each other. We can compliment each other. We don't have to blow it up. We don't have to relate to each other the way the world relates as if we're afraid that someone is going to gain more honor than us. Because isn't that kind of at the core of our fear? Isn't that really why we poke at each other and we jab? Because we don't want somebody to be so built up that somehow we're left behind. The disciples of Jesus did that. They'd argued about who was going to be have a higher position of honor. And Paul is saying, don't be like that. Don't be like the world. Don't be like those disciples were. We need to be living in harmony. We need to see that honor strengthens us. Now, if we were to continue learning about honor, there are all kinds of implications of what this means. What this means to enrich someone or to ascribe to them a greater value, because there are passages in Scripture about husbands honoring wives. There are passages in Scripture about how we should honor, people in the church should honor everyone. And then specifically called out is the king, the ruler, and the people in authority who the ruler appoints, that we're to have a culture of honor not only within the church, we're to be people who live honorably in the world. So there are all kinds of implications, but every one of those statements I just made is a whole other sermon. So we're not going to dive into all of that today. What I want to leave you with is a question about who in your life can you honor even today? It's Father's Day, so that's kind of, for some of us, that's an easy one. But for others of us, we don't even know our father, or we wouldn't know how to get in touch, or it'd be super weird, or whatever. So, but who is it, though? Who is God bringing to mind right now? Because I believe with all my heart that this time that we have together isn't about me teaching you. It's about me presenting God's word, and that God will teach you. So what is he teaching you right now? How is he leading you? What face has he brought to your mind? And how can you honor that person? What would it look like to show that you value them? That's our call today. Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. I'm going to read that again. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Let that be the words that we go out with today. And next week, we're going to continue rebuilding. I'm going to do a fatherly thing. I'm going to be with some of my kids, and I'm going to be, God willing, Facebook Live from Waukesha next Sunday. So keep tuning in. God is building something beautiful and meaningful in our midst. Even as we're working on this building, he is constructing his church, his people, gathered for his mission. I am so glad and honored to be a part of that with you. We'll see you soon. God bless you.